at Sports Siren on Twitter. Holly Rowe joining us to talk a little Utah-USC. Holly, how are you?
I am so great. How are you?
Doing awesome. Glad to have you with me on a Friday. Bill's traveling. He's on the plane headed down to the Coliseum to call the game, so I'm just flying solo today. But what do you make of this Utah-USC matchup? Obviously, Vegas views it one way, and pundits view it another, and Utah fans are all up in arms and angry that Utah's not getting more respect despite the fact that they're a 6-0 football team. How dangerous do you think USC is?
I think USC is very dangerous. I think that the biggest way that Utah needs to consider this game is don't worry about what everybody else is doing. A win is the most important voice that you can have out there right now. I really don't like it when people get caught up in, oh, you know, Kirk Herbstreit didn't pick us. None of that matters. What matters is getting another win, and USC is a dangerous team. You know, we keep saying it. I actually thought they would be a national contender this year, and obviously because of what was going on with Coach Sarkisian and some injuries that they've had, that hasn't happened. They still have a ton of talent. They have two of the top recruits from the state of Utah last year that went to USC.
Yeah.
You know, they have dangerous guys. I went out and did a feature on Cody Kessler and Juju Smith-Schuster in June, and these guys are for real. And Adoree Jackson, number two on their team that plays both offense and defense, he's probably one of the best players in college football. So anyone that overlooks this team or overlooks USC at home, you know, I know they're struggling, but they are a dangerous team.
Yeah, USC, when you match them up with Utah in the past, the schemes actually match up in a favorable manner for Utah, I think, because USC runs more of a pro-style offense, and they don't try and spread you thin like some of the other teams in the Pac-12 have done in the past. But people have gotten scared of individual matchups or a certain receiver for USC just being almost uncoverable. We've seen guys like Robert Woods and Marquise Lee and Nelson Aguilar have just – they've had great games. Is Juju Smith-Schuster, is he that guy for USC this year that even with Utah's good defensive backs, he creates a serious matchup problem?
He does. He is a super athletic, super smart guy that has a chemistry connection with Cody Kessler. But here's what you do is if you can pressure with your defensive front, which I think is what Utah's been able to do all year and it's the strength of that team, is if you can pressure up front and make him, quote, throw quicker and make him throw before the receiver, his route comes open. You know, there are ways you can disrupt in the passing game by your pressure up front, and that's what would be good for Utah. Now, kind of an interesting storyline, I don't know if anyone caught on to or talking about, but the center for USC, Max Turk, who's Cody Kessler's best friend, roommate, he's been out injured the last couple of weeks. So a kid named Toa Lobendon, a true sophomore, has taken over at center. Well, his dad, Vince, played at the University of Utah. And it's just so cool. Vince is still coaching high school football out in California. So former Ute, his son is facing Utah this weekend. And that's kind of a cool story. I don't know if a lot of people have picked up on.
Yeah, that's the first time that I've actually heard about that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And at Toa Lobendon, I mean, it's such a cool story. It was one of the very first stories I ever did as a student journalist at the University of Utah. Vince was playing at the University of Utah on the field, and he had two small children. And one of those small children was Toa. And I did a feature story on him. You know, this is like 20, maybe even 30 years ago. And now his son is playing against the Utes.
That's interesting. And since you already mentioned it, and you're talking about another guy with Utah connections who's playing at USC, Porter Gustin and Osa Messina, two freshman linebackers for USC, they've both had immediate impacts as true freshmen out of the state of Utah. How important are those two guys in this game? And how do you expect Kyle Whittingham's team to kind of react to the local boys doing their thing for the Trojans instead of wearing a Utah uniform?
Well, you know, in some ways, it's kind of too bad those two got out of state. I think if there hadn't been so many coaching changes right before recruiting day for Utah, that might have been a different story, although those kids might want to just get away from home. But, you know, they would have been a huge addition to this Utah defense, so that's too bad for Utah. But I don't know. I mean, a lot of those kids probably played with them or against them in high school, so there's a high level of familiarity. I don't think either one has been, like, game changers or impact guys. You know, I haven't watched them particularly as closely as I should have. But, I mean, I just think it's kind of another game. They'll probably say hello, shake hands after the game with a couple of the guys. But, you know, it's too bad they didn't stay home at Utah because they could be making an impact for the Utes. But it'll be interesting. I wonder how they'll feel about it, because Utah comes in there having a lot more success this year than the place they chose to go. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Talent has been the theme even of this conversation, but of pretty much every conversation we've had all week about USC. Unbelievably talented, like they are every single year. So is it an indictment against the kids themselves, against the coaching staff, against the athletic department, that despite all that talent and as many guys as they're going to push into the NFL yet again, they're only 3-3 to this point?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit. I think definitely what's going on with their coaching staff had an impact, because obviously things weren't right even before Coach got fired, or there wouldn't have been such a problem. You know, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes. Were they as prepared as they could have been? Were they being coached as well as they could have been given the personal problems that now we're aware of? Maybe not, and probably not. And that's really sad, because these poor seniors, you know, you think about it. Cody Kessler, who's a senior, and one of the nicest kids I've ever dealt with in the media. He's a great kid. He's had four coaches in his career. That's just not fair to kids, you know, so that's a problem. Oh, one other story I forgot that you guys might not know about is Cody Kessler and Jared Norris are best friends. They grew up together in California. So we got some really funny video at Media Day of them hugging and carrying each other across the lot. So that's another kind of fun angle to watch. And, you know, Jared was, I was saying, are you going to be too scared to hit Cody Kessler? And he's like, oh, no, I'm looking forward to it. So that's kind of a fun angle.
Yeah, that actually is. We had some fun with that down at Pac-12 Media Day as well. And that one people have picked up on. Really unfortunate, and I was going to ask you about it anyway, so I'm glad you brought it up. Jared Norris got banged up very late in the game against Arizona State. He is doubtful for this game against USC. Obviously, it detracts from that fun storyline, but he is one of the most important players also on this Utah defense. If he is absent, Holly, how big of an impact can that have on this game?
I think it has a big impact because, you know, they're just getting Hunter Dimmick back, and they were just kind of getting back to being full strength. And he's kind of an emotional leader, and he's one of the bigger, more physical players on that defense. So I think it's a huge deal if he can't play. I didn't realize that he was that much in doubt. So that is a big deal to me.
USC by committee kind of in their running back core right now. We've seen in the past where they'll have a thunder and lightning attack. We've seen in the past where they have one feature guy who they lean on for carries much the way that Utah does. But this year they're kind of spreading it out, spreading the carries out. Does that work to Utah's advantage, disadvantage, or is that just something that you're going to have to deal with, sort of the change of pace that USC can end up bringing from the running back position?
Well, I think offensive coaches always like having change of pace guys. You know, like even Alabama, who has the big, strong, really hard to bring down Derrick Henry, they have a change of pace guy in Kenyon Drake, and who can run a little bit different stuff. You know, Ohio State has Ezekiel Elliott, and then they've got Jalen Marshall that's a change of pace kind of H-back guy. So I do think it's harder to prepare for multiple backs who have a wide variety of talent skills. You know, they can come out of the backfield and catch passes. They can, you know, pass protect. They can do a lot of different stuff. I think that's harder to prepare for, but I don't know that USC's had one guy that's gotten it going. You know, sometimes you want to feed the back that gets hot, and I don't know that they've really had a guy that is someone that they've been able to rely on. Now, some of that has to do with injuries they've had up front. I told you about the center going out. You know, he was kind of their heart and soul on the offensive line. I actually researched an interesting stat for my game this week. I have Texas A&M versus Ole Miss, and in the top 10 in college football, five of the top 10 teams have had the same five offensive linemen start every single game.
Wow.
Utah has had the same four offensive linemen start every single game, and the only reason one didn't is he got beat out by another guy last week. So in the top eight teams of the top 10 teams, four or more offensive linemen have started every game. So I guess my long-winded point is continuity up front on the offensive line is crucial for success in the top 10 teams. I mean, it's just 82% of the possible starts on the offensive line have been made by the same offensive lineman in the top 10. So that's a big deal.
Another Pac-12 game that we watched last night, UCLA kind of walloped Cal. Cal coming off their bye week after a rough performance against Utah in what was a much closer game. than this UCLA matchup was. Were you surprised by the result? And Josh Rosen, we've seen the best of him. We've seen the worst of him. Do you think that he's going to smooth things out the rest of the way?
I think what you're seeing is inconsistency in young people. Hello, I have a 20-year-old son. I would say inconsistent is the number
normal?
One way to describe people of that age. Hello. You know, I think it's a typical behavior of a freshman. It's hard to walk in and maintain focus. You know, we're the generation of kids right now. They're built on Twitter and, you know, 140 characters and 40-second news cycles. You know, their attention to detail is not as great as ours was. That's just a matter of life. And can they pay attention and focus in and prepare the way they have to prepare every week to be consistent? I think that's a challenge with young teams. And, you know, he's a true freshman trying to get this done. I think they're mercurial. I think Cal has been a little disappointing. I thought they would be better, to be honest with you. But it is a big deal for UCLA. They may have lost their running back, Paul Perkins, and that would just be a huge loss for them. He's, you know, one of the best running backs in the Pac-12, as you know. And he may be out. I heard his injury is somewhat significant.
Yeah, I mean, UCLA, people here aren't rooting for the Bruins, obviously, because the Utes are doing so well and they want to win the Pac-12 South. But has any team been decimated more by injuries on their starting lineup than UCLA this year?
Yeah, it's been a terrible year for them. And, you know, of course, they lost Miles Jack. They're kind of heart and soul on their defense as well. So they've really had a tough year injury-wise. You know, they're trying to be resilient, but it's tough to overcome that many injuries. And so now Paul Perkins is out as well. That's really tough to overcome that injury.
In all your years covering sports, Holly, have you ever seen a team win a championship without good fortune and good luck on the injury front? We were talking about that earlier this week with the Utes. The best Utah teams that we've ever had here have been relatively healthy over the course of a season, and you could even say that about this group so far, knock on wood. But have you ever been around a team that has bad luck with injuries and is still able to win a championship?
You know, probably the most significant I've ever run across was Ohio State last year. I mean, they went three quarterbacks deep. You think about what team in the country could absorb an injury, a season-ending injury to two quarterbacks. You know, very few could. But not only that, they lost their starting H-back, Dontre Willis. He was out for their bowl game and their national championship run. I think they had two starters out on defense. So I think they probably had the worst injury situation I've had in a long time and were able to overcome it. But, you know, again, I know this sounds stupid because nobody cares about the offensive line and they don't think it's that sexy and exciting. But when you can go through a season and have the same five starters every single game on the offensive line, chances are you're a winning program and you're probably playing in a high-level bowl. Last year, right now, Alabama has had all five on the offensive line. LSU, same five on the offensive line. Baylor, same five on the offensive line. TCU, same five on the offensive line. So, you know, all the teams that are at the top right now, they've had that consistency up front. So that's the biggest to me.
Holly, thanks so much for taking the time. You said you're at A&M Ole Miss this week?
Yes, I am actually on this really cool, we're in a rooftop terrace in the town square of Oxford, Mississippi. Probably one of the coolest little college towns you ever want to visit in your life. And went to practice today. Phil Knight from Nike was at the Ole Miss practice today. So having a really fun little interesting trip here to Ole Miss.
Should be a fun one. And Laquan Treadwell's my guy, so I hope that they end up winning that.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart. We met with him today. He's a sweetheart, so I'm glad you like him. He's a good kid.
Thanks, Holly. Talk soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Holly Rowe, the best in the biz, at Sports Siren on Twitter. FLOTUS, we like to call her. First lady of the Utah sports. She's the best.